We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Do you see this where Captain Marvel is making 90s music hot again?
Really?
Yes, like all these generations who've never heard it.
Well, I guess that's like the Guardians of the Galaxy that brought back that Looking Glass song, you know, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And some of them include these people going nuts for are What a Man by Salt and Pepper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
Come As You Are by Nirvana.
No. Yeah, definitely remember that.
Yeah. Good music right there.
You know
there.
Me, old rocker.
Yes. Were you ever in the mosh pit?
No, never in the mosh pit. I was a little old for that. I was, you know, I was probably in my 30s and 40s when the mosh pit thing was going on.
Oh, okay.
So it was just a little late for me to be, a little heavy for me to be, crowd surfing there, I think, too.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so anyway, people doing this. You know what's so funny? My father was in town about 3 weeks ago on the weekend. He took me and my daughter out, my oldest daughter. And my dad is a big Beach Boys fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's in his 70s. And so he had this great, like, all the Beach Boys classic hits CD that he travels with. And he plays it while he travels, right? Well, she's never heard the Beach Boys before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she was listening to it. You know, Wish They All Could Be, California Girls
yeah.
and Surfer Girl. Yeah. Oh, just the innocence coming out of the radio from that era. You could feel the innocence in our culture. Yeah. What a difference between that and the smut that passes for culture today, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's some, especially Beach Boys, that's some classic American music. It's, yeah.
And that was edgy at the time. I mean, there were parents who didn't want their kids listening to it. For what reason, I do not know. But it was, you know, it was edgy. And so my daughter says, my 10-year-old daughter goes, she liked it.
Yeah.
She actually asked him to replay one of the songs. She was singing along to it, right? She liked it. She goes, when's this music from? The 90s?
Yeah.
Right. The 90s?
Yeah.
So that's their point of reference, right?
Yeah.
My dad and I just busted out laughing.
Yeah. Gosh.
No, not the 90s, honey.
Well, to your daughter, the 90s is ancient history.
I know. That was what was so funny. It made me feel so old.
It is so 20th century.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah, I think people in the 90s probably didn't even recognize the Beach Boys anymore. But anyway, did you hear this from this line is a stunner, Lee, from the Goldman Sachs analysis of the current economy. Do you remember when that Goldman Sachs trade team member of Trump's quit because he was so upset? He was one of their CEO or one of their executives.
Okay.
He was, remember, it was like over a year ago. He quit the Trump trade team and he could not go along with this. It's going to wreck the economy.
Yeah.
It was like 2 days of news where he did all these interviews saying Trump was an idiot.
Yeah.
All right, fast forward to now. Goldman Sachs says blue-collar and middle-class wages jumped by 4% in the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's after discounting inflation. But I want to read this line to you from the Goldman Sachs report because it's like a sledgehammer up to the upside your head. If the higher American trend continues until the 2020 election, Trump will have delivered a historic wage increase of roughly 14% to more than 100 million American voters by Election Day.
Wow.
Which is going to, if that happens, that's going to make this election essentially an IQ test.
Well, and that's going to be hard to do because you've already seen so much growth, and that growth can't be sustained at that level all the time. However, if you are maintaining those jobs that you have created, those are folks that have still got jobs and are still seeing increased incomes.
Well, and Goldman Sachs dealt with that in their report. They said even if job growth slows as the labor market tightens, labor income should continue to grow at a healthy pace, they say. So they are forecasting we will not lose any of the gains. The growth may slow a little bit, but that still gets us to that figure of a 14%, wage increase for 100 million Americans. So that's even with figuring in a projected slowdown in the wage increase.
And, you know, that's the very group that liberals and even some Republicans had complained about were not seeing the increase in wages. Obviously, through the Obama years, Wall Street did very well after the Great Recession that the I will say the Democrat policies got us into through the 60s, 70s and 80s, which got us to that point with those tarnished assets there. But at any rate, that'll still be there. You know, that's what's going to be important for the for Trump in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. But for Goldman Sachs, you know, as you know, much as they supported Hillary and the Democrats, they're big Democrat fundraisers. In terms of their executives and stuff, I mean, this really is an admission that this works. And I think the Democrats are just taking the tact of just pretending it's not happening.
Exactly.
And telling you that you're still losing. And it's just, it's really terrible. But it's just, it's really not really terrible.
Well, see, Democrats are doing with the economy and Trump's performance what they accuse Republicans of with regard to climate change.
Yes.
I mean, they're economic deniers.
Good point.
They will not even acknowledge that this is going on and that we're all going to die.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you're going to have a hard time selling that even to regular Democrat union members who have got jobs, who are working now, who are making more money than they made in decades. How are you going to sell that to them? That we're wanting to stop the Trump administration from doing the things that are helping you and making your life easier right now? How's that going to play out?
I think their plan is just to scream racist, sexist, homophobe over and over again.
That's pretty much it.
I think that's
yeah.
their plan because yeah. I think that's about all they got.
And if they don't nominate an old white guy, then they may make some traction. I mean, honestly, if they get a minority nominee, if they can do that, that's not an old white guy, they may be able to get a little traction. But I still say that the economics of it is what's going to drive this election in 2020.
I hope you're right, Lee. I hope you're right. Because you know what? What we are facing right now is just terrible
mm-hmm.
and terrifying. What we're facing as a country. I mean, what Peter Strzok revealed in June, we're just now getting the transcripts. You remember that smirk Strzok guy
yeah. oh,
just smirking
how can we forget?
At
yeah.
Congress?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, don't ask me too many tough questions or I'll go dig into your personal life and destroy you. I mean, just that smirk. We're now finding out. This is shocking. I mean, this is the same week the Lisa Page transcripts now come out from July, mm-hmm. and she's asked point blank, what was the insurance policy again? You know, the one you and your lover said was going to stop Trump, you know, make sure he doesn't become president, because that's totally part of your job description here at the FBI. Oh, the insurance policy. Yeah, that was the Russian investigation. Okay, that was 2 days ago. This is now. Peter Strzok. Disgraced and fired FBI agent and government thug has now admitted that this is insane, that the Department of Injustice had a deal with the FBI not to investigate the Clinton Foundation emails.
That is obstruction of justice.
Yes, classic.
That is obstruction of justice. And there will be no investigation and there will be nobody that goes to prison because of it.
What's worse, they had a filter team working to limit the search on the servers so as not to find crime. So this, the FBI is now the agency dedicated to not finding crime, covering up crime, obstructing justice, and...
Look at where we are. We have actual testimony that confirms the suspicions that many in this country have had about what was going on at the Department of Justice and the FBI and the bogusness of so much of the investigations of the Trump administration. But yet no word on this from the media, no interest whatsoever. But yet let one disgruntled former White House staffer make some comment and we've got a 1 week news cycle on that alone. That's where we are in this country right now. Completely blind to what's going on. This journalistic blinders on.
Coming up, a little more on this, the sweet deal you get if you're Hillary. FBI will actually construct a team dedicated to not finding your crimes and covering them up. Wish I had that deal, Lee.
Yeah.
Can you know how much money you and I can make if we had one of our own, like, you know, internal?
It would be sweet.
Clean it up teams. We could do whatever we wanted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We get to rise guys out on every corner dealing drugs. You know what I mean? We pocket the cash. It'd be great. Yeah, so some more details on the lengths the FBI went to cover up Hillary's crimes and how that scares one of the top law enforcement officers in the country. It's Must Hear Radio coming up next. So if you're a Trump associate, that's most unfortunate. You'll do time in prison, quite a bit of it, for crimes that Hillary's fundraisers committed with you. Like in partnership, while working for the Podesta firm. They get a pass, you get solitary confinement. That's how America works now. It all depends on what team you're on. Now, this transcript has just come out. Peter Strzok did this testimony back. He's an FBI agent. Peter Strzok, did, you know, the one who thought it was his solemn duty as an American to take Trump out with an insurance policy? Or coup, as they call it in other countries. That guy. It is outrageous that Peter Strzok is walking around and he's not behind bars. That there's no, that I know of, grand jury impaneled to investigate his oh so many crimes. Endless, endless, endless crimes. Anyway, his testimony before Congress, which was secret at the time, has now come out. They released the transcript of it. And we're beginning to see what was in there. Watch out for the Christopher Steele transcript. That was supposed to come out yesterday. I have not been able to determine if it did. That's going to be a heck of a read, too. Here's what we're finding out. The Department of Injustice had a deal with the FBI not to investigate Clinton Foundation emails. And they actually had a filter team in place to limit the search on the servers. They were only given the servers after they made a deal, sat down with her attorneys to put parameters on what they'd be able to see. This is, yeah. Okay. And here's how this worked. The Clinton Foundation emails were part of the investigation into Hillary's private server where she broke, you know, all those laws. Espionage Act, she violated. Do you think that they would cut a deal like this with Trump? Well, we're not going to go into your personal business. We'll just have a filter team to make sure we don't see anything criminal. Okay, yeah, sure. Think Trump get that deal? Oh, heck no. And that leads us to Bernard Kerik. You probably remember him. He is the was the New York City police chief, 40th New York City police chief, 9/11. Bernie Kerik, very famous face, one of the highest ranking law enforcement officials in the country in terms of size of his command. So when he warns that we're in trouble as a country, I listen. This was a 21-minute interview that he did with Breitbart, and I can't play all of it, but he delineated, and I highly recommend listening to it. He delineated in excruciating detail all of the crimes committed by Andrew McCabe, who perjured himself four times before Congress. James Comey, who perjured himself at least twice broke the law by leaking. And he goes through all of their crimes. Lisa Page, on and on and on and on. This is what the former police chief of New York City had to say about the sorry state of what passes for criminal justice in this country.
But at the end of the day, there are Americans all over this country that would be sitting in prison right now if they made the same decisions, if they violated the law the way these people did. And my you know, I've been targeted by this government. I've seen what they can do and why they do it. And when I see this, it sickens me because it impugns the integrity of the FBI and the Justice Department. It impugns the integrity and honesty of the line agents that are in the field, but every day putting their lives on the line. And it also sends a message to the American people. There is a two-tier system of criminal justice in this country, one for the normal people and one for them. And they can do anything they want. They're basically above the law because they violated the law, they violated ethics rules, and they violated department policy, DOJ and FBI policy, and nothing happened to them. I think it's disgusting. And I think until the Attorney General takes some real action, one, in holding them accountable, and then going back to look at Hillary Clinton and that entire debacle of, you know, the breach of security with the emails, the destruction of evidence, the obstruction, conspiracy. Until the Attorney General goes back to investigate and prosecute those crimes, there isn't an American in this country that will ever believe the Justice Department or the FBI again.
Yeah. I think it's literally at that point. I've said that before. Until my old age, I will never believe anything that comes out of their mouths. I just don't. It's not just Comey and them. I mean, I don't believe what they have to say about the Vegas shooting. I don't believe what they have to say about, you know, the shooting down in Florida. I don't believe anything they say. I just think they lie. I think all they do is lie. I don't think we've caught half the liars at the FBI. Remember, that subpoena that Congress issued for the names of everybody who worked on the Russia investigation, that had to get that FISA warrant, it had to go through multiple committees staffed by sitting FBI agents who would have had to approve it before it could even get to the FISA court. Where are they? Who are they? That you can't put an application this big together by yourself if you're Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. There's a whole tier of people at the top of the FBI who did this, and guess what? They're still the top tier. They're waiting to assume leadership positions. Nothing's going to change now that these guys are out. Don't kid yourself. Here's some more from Bernard Carrick. Folks, this chills me to the bone when somebody who is the former head of the NYPD is saying, you can't trust your criminal justice system in America. Think about that.
What McCabe did and what the director did himself, I have to tell you, those things would have been prosecuted in a minute. In a minute, somebody would have been prosecuted, indicted, charged, and taken into court. And these people have seen nothing yet. And I just find it bizarre. I find it frightening that they can get away with this. There's no accountability. Nobody's done anything to them. There doesn't appear to be any accountability coming. So I hope the new attorney general, I hope this is something he's looking at. I hope it's something he's going to address, because if he doesn't, there isn't a courtroom in this country that's going to have a defendant in it and a defense attorney standing before a judge that doesn't have real questions about the ethical conduct and the background of the agents and the FBI and the DOJ.
Dang. So when asked what should happen to the FBI, former NYPD police chief Bernard Carrick said, you know, honestly, the best thing to do would just be rip it down. Rip it all down. It'd be hard, he said, but we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. I'll play that audio for you on the other side. It is as shocking as the rest. Plus, coming up, how is it some chick who uses like every other word is now setting the entire presidential agenda for the whole field of Democrat presidential candidates? Why are they so afraid of her that they run to adopt her Green New Deal without any idea of what it will cost or how it'll affect America? It'll make sense after this next segment. It's Must Hear Radio. It's one of the darndest things I've ever seen. 6-page report. No numbers. Green New Deal. What's it going to cost? AOC doesn't say. What's the economic impact on the economy of eliminating multiple industries? She doesn't say. How many jobs would it cost? She doesn't say. It'll create jobs, she says. Oh, how many? Doesn't say. Okay. But it'll totally remake the economy. That's for sure. Lies only eliminating the aviation industry, the dairy industry, the, you know, meat industry, all of that can do, right? So no details. No idea of economic cost. Could have put the country in economic peril. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. The entire Democrat Party, top tier of the presidential, you know, presidential contenders, adopts the Green New Deal and the Medicare for All. Despite a study by the former head of Government Accountability Agency, I'll look it up. Anyway, basically saying we can't afford this. It's not going to work. I mean, like, literally, economically, even if we want to do it, we can't. Well, numbers mean nothing to these people. And when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is asked, well, like, how are you going to pay for this? Are we going to borrow money? But, I mean, how are you going to pay for this? Well, we don't have to pay it all back. Oh, okay. What percentage do you not have to pay back? 5, 10, 15, 20, 50, 75. And who precisely are these borrowers these lenders who are going to be okay with that. Don't know. But it's now the policy of the Democrat Party because AOC said so. Who the heck is she? Why is she dictating to the entire Democrat field what they must believe, what they must think, and what they must run on, even if it makes no sense? And they are doing it. They're buying it. They're taking it up because they're scared. They're scared of the people behind Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. One of the things that struck me as really wrong, having run a statewide campaign and understanding what it takes to raise the money to do it, even $100,000, which is what we ran on. How the heck did a waitress who failed at everything she'd ever tried, had a college degree, but somehow was still waiting tables at 28, raise $2 million to run for Congress? Impossible. Can't be done. Most sitting Congress members who have the votes and the connection to the special interest will typically raise $400,000 to $600,000 for a race, might go up to $1 million if it's highly contested. Again, these are people with connections and voting records, like the kind her opponent Joe Crowley had. She didn't have them. And I looked at the fundraising account. Something's badly wrong here. I've been thinking this for a while. There is no way. They do not give you money. Especially not when they have a perfectly good Democrat who's got a long history of doing whatever they want. So, who is AOC? Where'd she get the money? Did she do any of it herself? I mean, that's the whiz kid wonder behind her, isn't it? How did a waitress do all this? Here's your answer. She didn't. What I'm about to play for you was first broken by a podcaster by the name of Christopher Patrick Coles. Since he broke it, Rolling Stone and Breitbart, different sides of the ideological coin, have written articles saying exactly what he is about to tell you. Take a listen. This is going to make you understand. The reason I'm doing this is not just to tell you who AOC is, she's an actress, but to show you why the Democrats are so terrified of her that they are falling in line, even if what she proposes to do, like the Green New Deal, makes no sense. Because they're all afraid they will be destroyed by the people behind AOC. Take a listen.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is not really the congresswoman of New York's 14th congressional district. She is essentially an actress. She's merely playing the part of a New York congresswoman. In 2017, a group called the Justice Democrats held auditions for potential congressional candidates that they would run on their platform for various congressional seats throughout the country. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's brother Gabriel submitted her for the role. Obviously, AOC has star power. Just look at her. She's a superstar, the most famous person in Congress. Their casting was perfect. Now, I didn't have to go digging for evidence for this because they freely admit it. They brag about it.
Okay, the quote I'm about to play for you is from Alexandra Rojas. She is the executive director of the Justice Democrats, who advertised for congressional candidates to try out, along with the promise they would back them financially. What she is saying here has been reported by Rolling Stone and by Breitbart.
Back in 2016, we put out a call for nominations. We got over 10,000 nominations. Out of those 10,000 nominations, we found Alexandria.
My brother told me that he had sent my nomination in the summer, but I was like literally working out of a restaurant and I was like, there's no way.
A casting call. They had a casting call. They cast Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the role of congresswoman. And they did this so they could promote their own agenda.
And what is their own agenda?
The goals are to take over the Democratic Party, eventually take control of Congress, and in turn, control the United States. They have expressed their intentions very clearly on camera.
We're going to run hundreds of candidates, and we're going to primary all of the establishment Democrats. So we're not going to be like, is it Chuck Schumer? Maybe yes, maybe no, right? No, it's a hard no.
There's a lot of terror here. Now, who's running this? Her Nazi sympathizer, chief of staff, Saikat Chakrabani, Zach Exley, and a guy by the name of Cenk Uygur, who was formerly with the Young Turks. I think he may still be. Take a listen to who they are, because they're terrifying.
What is known is that these people are dangerous. Zach Exley is a radical left open borders guy who was once a fellow at the Open Borders Foundation, which is George Soros' organization. And he seems to be the least extreme of these guys. Cenk Uygur calls his organization the Young Turks. The Young Turks is named after a group of Turkish revolutionaries formed in 1911 who slaughtered 1.5 million people in the Armenian Genocide. So we know where Cenk's influence is at. Saikat Chakrabarty is influenced by this guy, Subhas Chandra Bose. How do we know this? Because he wears this Che Guevara-style shirt with Subhas Chandra Bose's face on it in most of his videos. That seems like a pretty deliberate choice. So who is Subhas Chandra Bose? Subhas called himself a socialist, but he is quoted as saying, "Our philosophy should be a synthesis between Nazism and communism."
This is terrifying, folks. I've been screaming about Psycat for weeks now. I mean, we literally have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, her chief of staff and chief fundraiser, is walking around with a Nazi's face on his t-shirt and nobody cares. And it's not like he just wore it one time, you know? Maybe he didn't have laundry done that day. He does all of his podcasts in it. This guy pledged allegiance to Hitler and worked with the SS. By the way, he hated America and backed the Japanese in Pearl Harbor. That's who we're dealing with, folks. Now, you may say to yourself, okay, these people, they're crazy, though. They're not going to control Congress. Not now, no. But if we did amnesty, and you watched Florida flip to permanent blue, and Texas flip to permanent blue, and Georgia flip to permanent blue, North Carolina flip to permanent blue, Democrats will control Congress. And, folks, if these guys control the Democrats, you're not going to recognize your country. And I'm telling you, all this could happen in a decade. Wake up. Wake up. But if you want to know why Beto had to adopt the full AOC 6-page platform with pictures, that's why. These people. That's who's driving the Democrat Party, and they are terrified of these people. Okay, now I'm going to read this text to you, okay? And these kind of texts scare me. And it's not a commentary on the person who sent it, somebody who loves the show. But I understand your reaction after this last segment on what we're facing. When you look at how easy it would be for the Democrat Party to take this country over, all it's going to take is an amnesty vote. And folks, it's the popular vote. We have lost the popular vote in the last two Republican presidencies. You realize that. We won through almost a miracle with Bush and Trump. So, I mean, it's not going to take a full-on amnesty anymore. It's just going to take a Dreamer Act amnesty of 2 million. We're done. Country's done. We'll never win the popular vote again. They'll ram amnesty through. Democrat Party will control the country. And who's going to control the Democrat Party? You're seeing it now. You're seeing the beginning of it. I documented it in the last segment by telling you who's behind AOC and why the Democrat Party is doing whatever they want. It's like a hostage situation. You can get the podcast if you missed it by texting podcast to 71307. It's very important. And so I get texts like this. Some people are going to have to die to take our country back. That's the only way we are going to beat these people. No, 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 no. Maybe sometime in the future. But not now. Not now. And let me tell you why. The most telling poll this week was another Harvard-Harris. Again, two liberal polling firms. And they're polling millennials and under. Right? Millennials, Generation Z. And the headline is the bad news. 61% have favorable blue view of socialism. Oh, my God, country's going to die. Let's kill people. No. 59% say they have a favorable view of capitalism. They're not lost yet. Not by a long shot. We have to fight. We have to have the debate before you can lose the debate. So far right now, only one person is helping, and that is President Trump. He's doing a damn good job. I'm hoping that he can tar socialism the way that he destroys people with a single name, like he did Low Energy Jeb. Like that. Like he's doing right now. Did you hear the latest one? I loved it. Border deniers. He's calling the Democrats border deniers. It's awesome. I'm hoping he can destroy socialism. He's got a darn good chance to do it. Folks, we're still in the game. If we would just fight for these folks' minds instead of assuming they're written off. Again, yes, you'll hear again and again, these generations have a positive view of socialism. They don't know what it is. They are like the walking dead, but they have just as positive view of within the margin of error, of capitalism. Their teachers didn't teach them. They brainwashed them. But we can still reverse that. And what this is going to take is telling one. Tell one. Tell one. Tell one. Don't feel hopeless. Don't get upset. You know, people text me all the time. You just talk a good game, Trump, but you don't tell us how to fix this. I'm telling you right now, tell one. Fight for one. If all of us do that, do it on social media. Take on your crazy millennial niece or nephew or son or grand, whatever, grandson. I mean, for me, my one was my liberal Green Party cousin's long-term partner, who was just an outraged liberal. I mean, he came for a wedding and we got into a fight. But we talked over years and years and years, and I got him from that to libertarian. It hurt, man. It hurt my head. You can do it. Be online. Don't be afraid. Fight. Don't keep your mouth shut. They don't. One, you just got to convince one. If we all do it, we'll win the fight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.